LNB's audio diary for the 23rd of February, 2024. It is a Friday and it's about 1:45 in the afternoon. I have to run into town and do some errands. So I thought I would just give you a quick update. Let's see, I'm gonna pull out. What have I been up to? Well, not a lot. I gotta confess, I'm kind of stuck on chapter 18. Of draft 4 of All He Surveys, volume 2, not stuck. I'm kind of on a holding pattern because I know what I want to do. I just have to sit down and do it. And I'm trying to think of the best way because there are elements of this chapter that I don't want to scrap. There's some things in there that are, they're not just good, but they're useful for the story, you know, chapters to come. So I'm integrating new stuff with old stuff, and that can always be problematic. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. But I pick at it, and I put it aside, and I pick at it, and I put it aside. Hardly professional writer habits in place here, but whatever. I'll get there. I know where I want it to go. So that's an advantage. I do get to scrap pretty much all of the next one or two chapters. Just dump them entirely without having to integrate very much at all with them. Just a couple of elements of certain scenes that I want to echo in a new version of it. But other than that, I don't think I need a lot of grafting new stuff onto old stuff, if that makes any sense. So, anyway, let's see, what else? We had a game session, well, it's last week now, almost a week ago, pretty much a week ago. And it was fun, it was a lot of fun, or at least, I think, everybody had a good time. I had a good time, that's all I know. But, it went pretty well, and we're, online, not for next week, but one or 2 weeks after we're scheduled in. Just trying to fit everything in for everybody, and I think it works best that way. That way, if somebody has a conflict, they're not missing anything. We'll just put it on hold and keep going till the time comes. So, but yeah, that worked out pretty well, and I did a lot of work for the next session, so I should be all set for that. But I'll keep puttering away at that too, so that shouldn't be anything that catches me by surprise. At least I hope not. Yeah, other than that, our weather has been pretty warm during the day and still cold at night. We're still getting down below freezing at night, but I don't know, is this spring? We had some heavy winds the other day, but nowhere near as bad as they predicted. And since then, it's been quiet. So, you know, not very windy during the day. So I don't know. It's only February, it's too early to say that it's spring, but it came very early last year. And I don't know. I think we're likely to have an early spring, but I don't think we're there yet. That's my feeling about this. You know, you could say February, you can't possibly be into spring, you know, spring yet. Well, I should say springtime weather is what I should say, obviously. But, I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. I rewatched recently, Tron Legacy. No, not Tron Legacy. Tron Legacy is the film. Tron Uprising is what I rewatched. And it is now I talked about this a long time ago, but, I first watched this when it was on the Disney Channel, and since then, if it's anywhere to be found, it'll be on Disney Plus. But when it came out, Disney Plus didn't exist yet. And it is, I guess, timing-wise, it's set between the first and second films. And it's after, like, if you know, well, I hate to throw spoilers in, so I won't, in case someone hasn't seen Tron Legacy, which is the second film, right? Now, first off, obviously, you have to be fans of Tron, period, right? And I'm not going to extol the virtues of Tron. If you don't know it, if you haven't seen it, you should check it out and make your own opinion. If you don't like it, then there's no point in listening, so, and I'm not going to try to sell it to you. But I'm a big fan of Tron. I saw the original in the movie theater when it came out, and I was blown away by the second one when it came out. And I saw Tron Uprising when it came out on television. And I haven't read the comic books, or I've read them very, very sporadically, but there were comic books that came out as well. But those I haven't read. But supposedly it's all in the same universe. I don't know if you'd call something canon or not, but supposedly they are all linked, but I don't really know that for a fact. Tron Uprising, again, if you're going to look for it now, I would look on Disney Plus. But if you can find it elsewhere, good, you know, that's a good thing. Or if you can't find it, just keep your eyes open. It'll turn up at some point or other. It only lasted one season, and I don't know why. I guess probably the ratings weren't great. But understand, Tron was always a kind of... Tron was always a problematic property for Disney, right? The first one broke new ground, and I mean big time, right? Much of what they did in that is just absolutely astonishing, right? If you look into the history of it, and into the history of the computer effects that were in that film, it's mind-blowing what they were able to do back in those days. But, okay, that was way back when. What about the next one? Well, the next one from... a special effects standpoint, the only thing that doesn't hold up are some of the age regression they did on Jeff Bridges, right? Because this was probably some of the very first age regression film software that had been used, right? Or in film, I should say. So in age regression in film that had been used. So it broke new ground again. But it really shows its age, just like the first one. You know, you look at the special effects in the first one, and they're only mind-blowing if you understand what was out there contemporaneously with it. Then it becomes, it becomes astonishing what they did. But other than that, other than looking at Jeff Bridges and seeing, ooh, that's Uncanny Valley, other than that, everything else in that holds up superbly. I mean, just looks absolutely fantastic. And the soundtrack is one of the best ever. It's just absolutely incredible with Daft Punk. And they worked with a guy, I don't know him, but he's well known in film. And they all worked together and came up with one of the most incredible film soundtracks. And this is coming from me, who hates music, right? It's absolutely incredible. It's an astonishing film. It's got a look to it that, you know, I don't think anyone's tried to match since then. I mean, it just costs so much money to make that, because it's a mix of practical sets and computer digital sets, and it's seamless. It just looks amazing. So that was the first and second film. Now, after that, you know, again, there was time a couple of years go by, and they come out with Tron Uprising. Now, Tron Uprising is a computer-generated cartoon, but it doesn't look like CGI, like any CGI you've seen, right? Except for the 3D elements to much of the equipment and things of that nature. But it's got an art style all its own. Absolutely just beautiful. It's an absolutely beautiful show to look at. The acting is fantastic. It's got great voice actors in it. It's got great actors doing voices. I should say that. That's how I should phrase it. Because you've got Elijah Wood, you've got Lance Henriksen, you've got Emmanuel Cherokee. I'm not sure how to pronounce her name, but you've seen her. I'm sure you've seen her in movies and TV and stuff. Very popular. It's got Mandy Moore. She does acting, not just singing. It's just really, really amazing. Paul Rubens, you know, the late Paul Rubens is in it. Certainly not playing Pee Wee Herman or anybody like it. He plays a real psychopath in this. Really well done. Very well done. Oh, and the music is on par, you know, with the, it looks like, now it takes place between the movies, right? And more or less it takes place close to, well, you're not even sure because you get flashbacks, but it definitely takes place between the movies so that you're setting up, or the idea was that by the end of the series, whenever that was, however that was going to be plotted out, by the end of the series, it was going to, you know, set everything up for the second film. So if you wanted to, you could watch the first film, then watch the series, then watch the second film, and they should all flow together. I think that was what they were going for. However, as I started to say, Tron has always been problematic, right? The original Tron did not do well when it came out. It was highly lauded, but it didn't do well at the box office, right? That was the same with the second Tron film, right? And then now, you know, then you have Tron Uprising, which apparently didn't get good enough ratings, and it got canned after one season. So it's definitely in keeping with the Tron, you know, the sort of the Tron curse, if you want to put it that way. But it's worth checking out. If you're a Tron fan, it's a must-see. If you're not a Tron fan, you could skip it very easily, very handily. I don't know that if they ever make another film, I don't know that they would include any element of Tron Uprising, but because with the exception of a couple of cameos, Jeff Bridges does do a cameo, you know, cameo voice work in the cartoon series, as does Olivia Wilde. But they're mostly, you know, either they're done in flashback, or if they're, because in the Tron world, if you program something, if you're a programmer and you create a specific program, it'll look like you in the Tron world. And so sometimes Jeff Bridges, his main program that he created is on screen playing a different character than you know, Jeff Bridges' character of Flynn. So, it's a little complicated, and you do need to have seen at least the first film for this one to make any sense at all. But it's really well done. The action is good. Characterizations are great. The writing was just very, very good in this thing. Yes, the villains are cookie-cutter, you know, Snidely Whiplash types, but so are they in the films. I mean, it is simplistic stuff. I'm not trying to make this sound like great, you know, this is high art. Visually, it is. Story-wise, you've seen this story told many, 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 many times, you know, good against evil. But Uprising is the story of, I think it was meant to be the story of a revolution that was happening underneath everything that happens in the second film, right? So again, it's setting the stage for the second film, and I think Uprising was supposed to give you greater context, not just of that world, but things that are happening outside of the action that you see in that film. And possibly if things had gone differently, perhaps there was going to be another film that linked everything together, but I don't know. That won't happen. You know, the potential for Tron is tremendous, but it never seems to come through for the general audience. It's really big for the fans, but not for the general audience. And, you know, I mean, every film that came out after that first one that have anything to do with virtual worlds or, you know, anything like that, they all owe an incredible debt to Tron, the original Tron. You know, I mean, there'd be no Matrix without Tron. There'd be no, you know, and everything the Matrix influenced, none of that would be around. So, you know, it would be, you know, I don't think it's overselling it to say that it was a transformative film, the first one. The second one was incredibly stylish. Just insanely stylish. I don't know that it had as big a social impact, or, no, I take that back. I don't think it had as big of an artistic impact on what followed as the first film did. But the first film broke so much new ground that it seems hard that anything could follow that up. But anyway, yeah. Tron Uprising, I highly recommend it. You know, if you're into science fiction in general, or if you're into Tron in specific, then I greatly recommend it, because it's really a fun ride, and it gives you a sense of where things might have gone. You know, it ends on a cliffhanger, but the cliffhanger is well in keeping with the second film, so it's like, okay, well, we don't know what's going to happen to our major characters, but we know what's happening to this world. And that could have been something else. We also know at some point or other, a major character is going to flip. But we don't know how. And that's not a spoiler, because as soon as... In the first film, you'll see what I mean. Or in the first episode, rather, you'll see what I mean. That there's going to be something like that. If you've seen both films, right? Again, if you watch... And these Tron products, in the order that they came out in, there are spoilers ahead. But if not, then you're gonna be nicely surprised if you watch it. Tron 1, Tron Uprising, and then Tron Legacy. But I don't know if we'll ever see any more Tron. We might. I would love that, but. It is what it is, and I enjoy it for what it is. So, that's that. Let's see. The live-action Avatar The Last Airbender has come out. I have not seen it yet. That's on my list of things to check out. But I'm also a massive fan of Avatar The Last Airbender, the cartoon series. And once again, I saw that when that first aired on Nickelodeon. We watched it week after week, and we just were riveted by it. And this was highly anticipated. People were scornful, obviously, because the M. Night Shyamalan film did not do very well, and it was actually poorly conceived, poorly made, and poorly received by general audiences. So I didn't like, in fact, I was as horrified by it as every other fan, so there's not much to say about that. But what that did do is make any follow-up projects that were coming out after it, they had a bit of scorn to get past. And I don't know that this one's going to do it, but we'll see. We'll see. I've seen the previews. I've seen some clips on YouTube, just very short stuff, and it does look really good. But, you know, it's how it's going to come across collectively. But if you haven't seen Avatar The Last Airbender, I cannot recommend that highly enough. It's part of what I call an animation golden age that came out from, oh, I guess in the... After the turn of the century, you know, stuff that was on Cartoon Network and Netflix and Disney and just some incredible shows. And we do have some stuff that peaks out since that time. But, you know, from Adventure Time to, so many other things that came out. Absolutely incredible. And Avatar came out during that time period. And, you know, Korra, that followed The Legend of Korra, which was a animated series, sequel series to Avatar The Last Airbender. I love that show too, but it's different. And a lot of people weren't sure what to think about it because it was different. But I really love that show as well. So overall, I'm a big fan of that series. And I just hope they're able to keep it all going. You know, we're supposedly going to be getting more animated stuff, you know, movies and a series and everything else. I don't know. We'll see, I guess. We'll see how it all turns out. But the live action, you know, was notably There was a problem between the original creators of Avatar, who were involved in the production of it, and they left very publicly. They left saying that it was going in a direction they didn't like. And then we didn't hear anything for a long time. And I personally, I don't know this, I haven't read this anywhere, but I personally suspect that the producers of the live action were really shaken by that. And they took it to heart. That's what I think. I think they looked at what the problems were that were identified by the original creators who left and said, you know what, why don't we just do what they said we ought to do, and let's just go with it. Because if we try to go in a different direction, it might be really bad. I don't know what that different direction was going to be, but as with the live-action Halo TV series, when creators of a series based on a previous property decide that they want to go in a different direction, depending upon how popular that previous property was, it's a mighty challenge to, first off, do something at least as good or better as what came before. But also, secondly, you're putting yourself at a huge disadvantage to try to get the fans on board, because the fans already loved the first thing, and that's what they really want to see. Now, I'm not going to say what's right or wrong in this, right? In my opinion, if you can make it good, it doesn't really matter what you do. If it's really good, it doesn't matter. But or it doesn't matter that much anyway. It depends on how you're advertising it, but and what you're promising to the fans and to everyone else. But anyway. Well, I guess that's about it. I'm just yammering on about, you know, in my opinionated way, about shows you've probably either don't care about or have already formed your own opinions about. So it doesn't really matter. Anyway, I guess that's it for today, because I am not home.